Much of what we share with all of you is more about the process of undoing and unlearning things you have learned, redefining things you have defined in ways that limit you or give you the experience of limitation, more precisely, because you are unlimited beings. You are not ever actually limited. But you can create, with your amazing unlimited power, the experience of limitation. And that is what you have chosen to do. And that is a fine, fine creation, because it is part of all that is. But now, at this time, you have arrived near the ending of your experience of limitation and forgetfulness. We developed some time ago a nickname for you. It is not a judgmental one, but we called you the Masters of Limitation. Because you got so very good at forgetting you were unlimited beings. You made it an art. And believe me, it is appreciated by many beings within creation. Because the degree of limitation or experience of limitation you have chosen to impose upon yourselves, the degree of the experience of disconnection from the infinite you have chosen to impose upon yourselves, the degree of forgetfulness, the experience of forgetfulness you have chosen to impose upon yourselves, indicates exactly how strong you actually are. Because if you can find the light from that degree of darkness, then nothing is impossible. And believe me, many civilizations going through their own challenges are taking a cue from you. Well, if they can do it, we can do it. Because look what they did to themselves. Our challenges are nowhere near as dark, but they're finding the light. So if they can do it, we can do it. So you are teachers for many beings you aren't even aware of. So we thank you from the deepest part of our hearts for the challenges you have taken upon yourselves to show others how strong in spirit you actually are. It is no small feat, it is no small task, and we honor you for that. Please remember, we know we have heard people on your planet say, "Well, you know, we only really use about 10% of our brains." Nope. You use 100% of your brain to make it seem as if you're only using 10. You are very, very clever at hiding from yourself. But when I say the experience of limitation, the experience of disconnection, the experience of forgetfulness, understand, you can never be disconnected. You can never be limited. You can never really be forgotten or forget, but you can create the experience of that. And that is what you have done. And now you are learning to create new experiences. Experiences of reconnection. Experiences of remembering. Experiences of unlimiting yourselves. Freeing yourselves. Knowing you always have choice, and always have had choice, and always will have choice. Your reality, your physical reality, that which you call the experience of physical reality, is not outside of you. It only exists within your consciousness. There is no outside. It's an illusion. And what you are now learning in this day and age of transformation, transition, and ascension, and awakening and awareness upon your planet is one fundamental bit of awareness. You are finally beginning to understand how to use the power of the illusion instead of succumbing to the illusion of power. That's the difference. And that's what your new age is all about. Learning to use the power of the illusion instead of succumbing to the illusion of power. That's all it's about. And that, in our dialogues and interactions, is what we will endeavor to illuminate in this transmission.
Do it because that's what you love to do.
Yes.
With the understanding that anything you do will always have an audience if it's something that's truly representative of your joy. Because if there were no audience, then you would not be inspired to do the thing you wish to do.
Yes.
Again, it's a two-sided coin. You cannot have someone who wishes to give information without in the same reality having someone who wishes to receive that information.
Why you khibul al-zaman
All right.
Greetings, dear ones.
Yes, hello, dear.
May the peace of the Great Spirit be with you always.
So let us begin with the discussion.
Is no good or evil. That's a judgment on everything. And one of the examples I use is if you're walking in the forest and it's a beautiful day outside, you go, oh, the forest is wonderful. It's a lovely place to be. If you're a little child and you're lost in the forest, you might think of it as being dark and evil and horrible. So yeah. The forest is always neutral. All experience is always neutral. It's your perception of it that determines whether it is a positive or negative experience.
When you get right down to it, people don't mind being dead. It's getting dead that bothers them. No one wants to get dead, but we're all going to do it. Death is one of the few things that is really, truly democratic. Everybody gets it once, but only once. That's what makes us nervous. No rehearsals. And actually, I think people should look forward to death. After all, it's our next big adventure. At last, we're going to find out where we go. Isn't that what we've all been wondering? Where we go? Where do we go? I don't know. We must go somewhere. True. Phil says he knows. I know he does, but take my word, Phil doesn't know. Where do we go? Maybe it's nowhere. That would be interesting. On the one hand, you'd be nowhere, but on the other hand, you wouldn't know it. So at least you'd have something to think about. Or not. Personally, I think we go wherever we think we're going to go. What you think is what you get. Have you ever heard one of those guys who says, don't even bother praying for me, I'm going straight to hell. I'm going to hell and be with all my friends. Well, he is. He's going to hell. And he'll probably be with all his friends. What you think is what you get. If you keep saying you're going to heaven, chances are you'll get there. But don't look for any of your friends.
An arrangement, so to speak, was made prior to the physical life of the channel within what you would call the oversoul of the channel, of which I am also a part. We are part of the same soul. You might refer to me as the channel's future self, and incarnationally speaking, I would look at the channel as my past self, just to put it in linear terms.
We are not happy with the way that things exist currently in our reality. All right, we are from what you would perceive to be the future. And we have come back to our past so that we may learn, all right, and so that we may assist the planet, because what's going on now is going to impact the entire universe. Well, we would prefer that you ask us, if you like. There's nothing in particular we would like to say, except that we're here, and it's very, very pleasant to be here. It's a delight. It's part of sharing with the big S, if you might say. The archetype of sharing is something we enjoy embodying.
I've had many, many lifetimes on Earth. I have deep love and compassion for humans because I remember what it was like to go through the things that humans are going through now. I remember the challenge in particular, the challenge of knowing at some deep level that you are a spiritual being.
Our goal is simply to help people live a more joyful, abundant life. And whatever it takes to achieve that, we're willing to do. And so that, in a nutshell, if you will, is our work.
You sit in the energy of a great shift. Many of you are feeling it. Maybe that's why you're watching this now. Maybe there's something that has happened in your life that would allow you for a moment just to open your mind and look inside something you always thought was untenable before, only reserved for those on the lunatic fringe before. Here you find instead wisdom pouring out. Perhaps you'll even feel the love of God pouring out.
There's a lot of things that are being transmuted and altered at this time. All right? You're finding some things out about some of your religious leaders. You're finding some things out about religion that just isn't holding true to you. It's not ringing true to you anymore.
What we want to tell you this is that there is so much here that is hiding. But you must feel it. There has been such a shift in these last years, especially in the last 20 or so.
You're remembering who and what you are, and it doesn't need an intermediary.
This changeover from the old religious system that so many of you are familiar with is difficult, very difficult, because it holds on tightly. Those who have such a strong concept of God as some higher authority and is the only creator, they want to hang on to that dearly. They fear letting God go, their old God, you see, because they are so out of touch with themselves, they can't possibly even contemplate what it's like to have to go inside.
Since so many humans are still part of traditional religion, we realize it's hard for them to accept this concept and for them to absorb it and assimilate it.
There are mavericks out there. There are those who are going outside of the grid. There are those who are taking huge leaps of consciousness within themselves. They are looking inside for the answers rather than letting somebody outside do it for them. They are breaking this pull, this type of magnetism from mass consciousness and going off on their own.
How many aware people on the planet is it going to take that are able to put their awareness into their speech and into their actions before the collective consensus is affected? And that is yet to be determined. No one knows exactly when and how that'll happen.
They are going to be the examples to other humans that you can cross the chasm of old consciousness to new, that you can integrate the human and the divine right here, right now. You don't have to wait till you die to do it. You don't have to wait till your next incarnation. You can do it right here.
You will see within the next 10 and 20 years a change in verbiage as people are able to articulate more about self-responsibility. You're already seeing that. As people are able to articulate more about other levels of consciousness, the higher consciousness, you're already seeing more of that. People talk about it, my higher self, my higher consciousness. And then behaving from that level of integrity is what you will begin to see as well.
Children have always generally had that capacity, and they get learned out of it, shall we say, taught out of it, generally by the age of 3, definitely by the age of 7 in your reality, but now not so much anymore. They are coming through with what you call core fortification.
Because you needed that fresh energy coming to the planet. All right, you needed new ways of thinking and new ways of perceiving.
They are less prone to absorb the telepathic onslaught of negative belief systems from the rest of society. They simply won't participate.
in those beliefs.
So that's why they are in part your greatest teachers, because they're already ahead of the game in some ways.
You're actually seeing children who will have a different attitude than any children have had before. That is understandable in an evolved species. You are asking whether you, as an older human being, can change, and the answer is absolutely and yes, for you could become childlike.
The wisest you have ever been as human beings is when you were little children. They are just so uninhibited and joyful, and they live in the present moment with joy. They're not thinking about what's going to happen 10 years from now or even 10 minutes from now. They're living in the present moment with joy, and that is the key. You should all be like little children again. That's the best advice we could ever give to anybody.
Didn't you spend some time with the Native Americans?
Yes, I did, yes. They told me two things, very simple. They always said, like Krishnamurti, like all the great sages, they said, just live with us, live very close to us, and live with the stars, and live with in the connection, star, sun, earth, very simple. They say, live with that, and then be yourself. Find out who you want to be, and be that, be excellent at that, at what you do. And don't care what goes on outside. So in a way, yes, people will have to seclude or get out of the way, like the little whale. Had he not gone towards humanity, he would have been fine. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen, I think, as I was explaining before, as the linear mind tunes out and the psychic mind comes in, is that most people will no longer be with it. They will try to function in a logical, straightforward, linear way when really everything becomes psychic. There's a higher level of psychic mind of the earth, of the stars coming in, and most people will simply lose it in this because nothing will make sense. It's hard to explain. And so only those who are completely tuned into the psychic will be able to go with these changes. You know, this whole world, everything that we're in wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the psychic. It's the psychic that gives rise to the physical. That's the part that scientists have yet to actually figure out and be able to explain in formulas. So my contact is more with the what I call the luminous mm-hmm. ones, and they would call them the shining ones in the old language. And at times at night you will see a bluish presence that creates a light. But they are formless. You can't like talk to them and touch them, but you feel something's there. Mm-hmm. They don't have names as such. They don't say we're from this star. They're just, you know, it's with you. It's constantly with you. I was ready to leave this whole thing I was doing simply because it makes no sense, in my view anyway, to be part of this world, of which I knew early on that it wasn't going to last. I knew pretty early on that while I'm still alive, now here in this life, this is all going to disappear in some way. So what was the point in being part of that when I knew you better prepare for something else? Thank you.
showing people right now is how that people are being mind controlled as a group. And what we're really teaching people to do is to recognize themselves as individuals and to plug the holes in their mind patterns so that they cannot be controlled unless they want to. And there are some people who find that an easier way to live their life. But there are other people who want to move out of the group mind, where the group mind is controlling them, into the individualized mentality. And that's really where we're helping to move people. Think for yourself, get your own answers, become your own teacher.
Saying in the book, become aware of who you are, of where you came from, and wake up to that. Get into yourself and you feel where you actually came from and what is inside of you. Then you will be completely fearless and build a society regardless of what goes on around you. And the more things fall apart, the more you wake up. Again, like I said, I don't think the physical events, the outside world, is what we should focus on. I want people more to focus within, because we are the change, and the change comes from within. So if, say, a handful of people worldwide really live with this change inside and grow strong to be surrounded by the invisible world and work with it, then everything that's going to happen outside will not be important.
Jesus.
A great teacher. No more the Son of God, however, than
I am.
You are. Exactly. A great teacher, yes.
It makes a good story. Humans need a hero. They need sports heroes. They need political heroes, although there's not many. They need technology and science heroes, but they also need an icon that they can look up to and worship, because they don't go within.
The archetype of the Jesus, the Savior, is still very powerful on the planet. And yet that slowly is being replaced by people finding it within themselves, instead of needing it to be out there as a figure.
In the early days of the Catholic Church, there was, a basic understanding that Jesus would appeal to the masses because he was a human, and that he would be such a fine example. It took them well over 500 years to even decide amongst themselves how he would be presented to the public, in your modern terms, would be how his PR campaign would be handled. So they developed this very interesting, but not necessarily accurate, story of Jesus, which wasn't even his real name to begin with. It was, when he walked on earth, it was Yeshua ben Joseph. They need someone to look to and to worship, and their leaders, even religious leaders, who have no idea of what the I Am principle is about, who have no idea that the God is already within, they encourage their groups to worship some far off Jesus, because it is a wonderful way of perhaps what you would call anesthetizing them a bit, take their mind off their daily pain, but it's also a wonderful way of controlling. So whether it is the Christian church, whether it is so many of the other religions, they create these icons, but the icons are out there somewhere, and they're generally hardly based in reality.
For those of you who are, you know, extremely light, guess what? You've had extremely dark lifetimes. You know, you've probably done some extremely dastardly deeds. So that's difficult. You know, a part of your quote-unquote New Age movement wants to be all light and all happy, and we'll tell you that is not what this lifetime is about, because there are prejudices there, all right? And the idea here is that you release all of that prejudice, all of that judgment against the dark, because you cannot have one without the other.
Those who are biased to the light only are basically imbalanced, and they're going to have to then, sooner or later, experience their dark part, which they're deathly afraid of. They're afraid of that dark part within. Why do they label it dark? Why do they think it's evil is just another aspect of them?
One doesn't want to be in the light by being in the denial of one's shadow.
The idea, remember, is that growth is the product of integration of all that you are, not the exclusion of anything. It is the allowance that everything is valid. The balancing of everything is valid. That's why the more evolved you become, you actually become more aware of more dark, because you're willing to integrate it all and balance it all within you.
And so there are some who want to, you know, step into that space and say, oh, I'm nothing but light. I haven't had any dark lifetimes. And we will tell you it is precisely the opposite. Because usually it's not until you have mastered the dark or some aspect of the dark that you are given abilities and to work in the light as well.
Momentum to snap into the light is actually gathered by exploring the darkness as deeply as you can.
Kryon says on the other side of the veil, it is much, much different. We don't have the minds we do now. We don't have the logic we do now. And this is like a play. This is, Kryon says, it's very much like a play. When the guy, when the curtain closes and the guy with the knife who has been murdered by the other guy, the curtain closes, they all get up and go have a party. You know, there's no animosity, they don't care, they don't carry a vendetta. And so when we're on the other side of the veil, it's like we regroup and come back in.
So there are really no victims and villains.
There are no victims and villains. And this, of course, will fly in the face of every single teaching that anybody's ever heard in this nation. There is also no heaven and hell. This is a very interesting theme, and I'm glad you asked that, because you know, when I'm in Israel, which I have been numbers of times, especially in the heart of it, in Jerusalem, these questions are asked. It's inconceivable that Hitler is not in hell. There is a line you cross. That guy has got to be being punished right now. According to my channeling, the men and women I work with who channel, that is not the case. He came and he did something. He went to the dark side, if you want to call it, and a whole bunch of people went with him. And he had the choice, and so did they. And he created something that we just find abhorrent and just awful. And yet, you know, when the curtain closed, he got up and everybody gave him a party.
That being who was Hitler agreed to be of service to that collective, to that group, to that genetic line. And that's a hard one for humans to see, all right? That's a very hard thing for them to begin to forgive. And then that goes back to the veil, why the veil is placed there, here, so that you don't remember everything.
Everybody who was what you would call adversely or tragically affected by the era of Hitler and by Hitler himself, was there because they created together, they co-created that reality that was, from a human perspective, certainly a very tragic and sad and awful time in your history. But Hitler was the catalyst for growth in many people who participated in that Holocaust, and it really was a Holocaust in human terms. And so good did come out of that.
The fact that such a being existed in your reality is part and parcel a reflection of what your reality allows. And thus it is a service to you to show you, this is what you support. Is this what you want to continue to support, or do you want to change this in the future? So it can be used as a service in that way. So yes, on a soul level, it can be looked at as a service, even though on the human level, it may only be seen as an atrocity.
We do not teach or believe that you have to repay past debts, if you will. And that's what many people see karma being. Like you pass misdeeds from this lifetime or another lifetime. You got to make up for those. And that's, in our view, nonsense. If you want us to be more blunt about it, it's bullshit.
Discussing what you would call the concept of sin has been done many times. And you will know that I will say this, and it is controversial to almost all that you have been taught. There is no such thing. Sin has been and is created by human beings wishing then to assign something to it. It is often then control. It is often then punishment. For you will have some guru tell you what is appropriate and inappropriate to God.
You are not in any way shackled by the past. Past of this life, past of many lifetimes ago. And so there's nothing to repay.
And what you might say to that is that there must be inappropriate behavior. When you see those who are in prison for certain acts that are atrocious, when you see those who take lives, you would say, surely that is inappropriate. And I will say to you, that is exactly what it is in the scheme of the balance that you have chosen to create as your culture. But spiritually, it follows a pattern where those who have done it by free choice. And when they get to the other side of the veil, there is no judgment. Therefore, sin, by the very nature of its definition, does not exist as sin. There are no sins, that is to say, things that you do, which then you will be punished for.
All your power is right now, so it doesn't matter what's happened in the past. All that matters is where you want to go from here, and you have all the power to go wherever you want from here. Right here and now, you have that power.
Think for yourself. Question authority. Think for yourself. Question authority. Throughout human history, as our species has faced the frightening, terrorizing fact that we do not know who we are or where we're going in this ocean of chaos, it has been the authorities, the political, the religious, the educational authorities who attempted to comfort us by giving us order, rules, regulations, forming in our minds their view of reality. To think for yourself, you must question authority and learn how to put yourself in a state of vulnerable, open-mindedness, chaotic, confused vulnerability to inform yourself. Think for yourself, for yourself. Question authority. Question authority. Question authority. Think for yourself. Think for yourself. Question authority. Question authority. Think for yourself. Think for yourself. Question authority. Question authority. Think for yourself. Think for yourself.
Regulations. they crow above me, black as holes within a memory, blue as our new second sun. I stick my hand into the shadow, pull the pieces from the sand, which I attempt to reassemble. Suggest who I might have been. I do not recognize the vessel, but the eye seems so familiar, like phosphorescent desert buttons singing one familiar song.
Watch it play while you're running.
when you come to Earth and you embody yourself in this thing called the biology, your physical body, you tend to lose the remembrance of who you truly are. Part of it, I guess you could say, is a good thing, because it allows each of you to truly experience what it is like to live in an illusion.
Because you have been cocooned, all right, isolated. Your history has been rewritten so that you don't remember who and what you truly are.
So it's so important to start waking up to the truth of one's own nature. And the truth of one's own nature is what one finds when you go within and discover the connection to all and to God. God is all that is, that lies deep at the heart of the true self.
If it was intuitive of what you had going on this planet, we might as well just turn on the lights and everyone goes home. You see, there must be secrets. There must be an overlay. There must be a veil. There must be the predetermined energy that says, can't be so. This creates a little mountain to climb, does it not? Those who are watching this now, be aware that this is part of the mountain to climb. For it has to do with your belief, what you've been told, as opposed to what you feel.
There are still what you might call newcomers on the earth who haven't necessarily run the gamut of all the different kinds of incarnations you could have as a human on earth, but the majority of you, yes, have experienced just about everything you can possibly experience. You have killed and been killed. You have been a benefactor and been benefited. You have been every gender, every experience. You have been every family member. You have had just about every disease that can be had. You have experienced absolute joy in certain lives, freedom, fear, everything, the whole spectrum. Most of you at this point.
They always describe it as being like a roller coaster. You know, if you've never been on one before, you kind of get on. You don't know when you're going to go up, when you're going to go down, when you're going to go around the corner. And it's a little scary. And, you know, it can be a little fearful, but then you get off the ride and it was great and you want to get right back on. And that's what it's like through the incarnational cycle. You go through and it's a little scary and a little bumpy, but as soon as you get off, you're like, that was a great ride. I want to go on it again. So that's how they describe it to me, that once we see the big picture and understand it, we're excited to go back down.
Most people don't believe in anything before life. Nothing whatsoever. So you have 85% of the earth, according to Time magazine, that believes in a religion that supports the afterlife, and yet you have only about 4% of the earth, which would be Hindu and Buddhist, who actually believe in a forelife, which doesn't make spiritual sense. Somehow mom gives you birth and you have a soul forever. But that's the teaching of the church.
But there was nothing before.
Yeah. There was nothing before. Ask them.
Yeah.
There was nothing before.
You have pretty much all done it all. That's why you're arriving at the end of the cycle of limitation, because there's really not that much left to explore. You have all done it all. So now you are remembering, you're waking up out of that particular dream, because you're at the end of that dream, almost.
Because when you come into a physical existence, you become a creator in the physical dimension. You're creating your life and your the activities and your experiences, your responses to the experiences. But it's all about the progression of the evolution of one's soul, isn't it? Yes? And reincarnating allows you more and more understanding and knowledge through experience.
You exist. That will never change. The form may change, but the fact that you exist will never change. Existence does not become non-existence, because non-existence is already full of all the things that will never exist, and there is no room in non-existence for the things that do exist. Existence is the only quality existence has, to be. There is no not to be.
Thank you. dance a lot on Ancestani?
They do.
Yeah, all the time?
Yeah, in a variety of ways. Yeah. Again, depending upon synchronicity. We're not constantly dancing around. Although, of course, it depends on what you mean by dancing, because we're dancing right now, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. When you believe you're no longer really getting anything out of that experience, believe me, you will stop doing it. And you'll manifest something else. But it's all about definition, and it's all about how you have defined your motivation. Again, every single thing you do, again, all of you, again, without exception, every single thing you choose to do, you do for one simple motivation. It's always the same motivation in every case, without exception, without fail. You will always move toward what you define to be more pleasure and move away from what you define to be more pain. Always. Your choices will always be based on that. And yet many of you say, but I'm experiencing a lot of pain. Why am I not moving away from it? If you're finding out that pain is manifesting in your life and you don't seem to be moving away from it, it's because you have defined that what it is that's causing you pain is actually less painful than the alternative. And so you're motivated to keep doing it. As soon as you change your definition about the alternative into something that is, in that sense, less painful than what you're doing, believe me, you will instantaneously stop doing that and start doing this. Instantly. It's all a matter of how you define what it is that you think you want to do and your motivation based on that definition. That's all it's all about. So, the first thing to do would be, if you find yourself in an experience of trying to do something, ask yourself, what do I believe I'm getting out of that experience? There must be something about it I believe is serving me, even if what it's doing is keeping me away from something I think is actually even scarier. That might be a service to you. You might think it is a service. You might be defining it as a service. You may say intellectually, I would rather be doing that thing. But if something deep within you defines the doing of that thing as more scary than the thing you're already doing, you will choose the devil you know as opposed to the devil you don't. Always. So when you understand that what it is you say you want to do is actually in your best interest and really will serve you, you will instantly choose it, instantly move in that direction, and instantly stop doing the thing that you say you no longer want to do, that you're tired of. But if you keep doing it, you must not be tired enough of it yet.
or you must not have found out why you believe you need to keep doing it. And that's where getting in touch with definitions that are deep within you is so very critical and so very crucial, because you have to understand that every single thing you do is based on what you define to be true about it, and define what you believe to be true about your relationship to it. And it's all based on what you've been taught. And that's why we initially said when we came through in this transmission that all of the things we're talking about is all about unlearning. You have to redefine your reality to experience a new reality, because you have been taught so many definitions that you simply assume are automatically true that you never question them. Here's an example that we often give to illustrate the point. Are you paying attention?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Many of you say, I know I keep doing this thing. I don't want to keep doing it. I can't help it. It's a habit. All right. But that's because you've defined a habit as something you can't help but keep doing. Our definition of a habit is this. A habit is something you do that you don't know you're doing. Once you know you're doing it, it's not a habit, it's a choice. Ooh, responsibility. Oh no, scary. No, 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 no. If you keep doing it and you know you're doing it, it's no longer a habit, it's a choice. And now comes the 64,000 or million or billion dollar question, why would I keep doing it? Aha, now you're in control. Find out. What's the definition that says you're motivated to keep choosing a thing you say you don't want to keep choosing, but keep choosing? And if you ask why, what would I have to believe is true about this situation, about me, about my relationship to it, in order to believe, in order to define that this choice is the wisest, most beneficial choice for me to keep making? Because that's all you're doing. You're just making a choice. That's all you're doing. And you're doing it because you're motivated to make that choice, because you've defined it as the wisest choice to make in lieu of any other definition that works better for you. So find out what the definition is you're attaching to the situation that makes you keep choosing that. And when you identify what that definition is, it will suddenly become transparently obvious that you no longer need to buy into that definition as empirically true. It will just be understood that it has nothing to do with you. It may be something you earned or inherited from your parents or society or someone else, but it has nothing to do with you. And when you recognize it by identifying it and then replace it with a definition you prefer, you will find quite readily that it will take its place automatically, and that the definition will lead to a different feeling, and the different feeling will lead to a different behavior, and the different behavior will lead to different thoughts, and different thoughts will lead to a different experiential reality, and that cycle will be reinforced instead of the other cycle based on the other definition. Was that clear?
Yes.
Did that help?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Climb every mountain, search high and low, follow every byway, every path you know. Climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow till you find your dream, a dream that will all the love you can give every day of your life for as long as you live.
person has at least one inner non-material component. Now, this component's been on this planet gathering information for thousands of years now. And this component has learned what it feels like to be abused and used. And it records this data and feeds it to us whenever we need to make a choice or a decision. Each person inwardly knows what is right from wrong then. We know that it's wrong to lie and steal and cheat. And yet many of us continually deny our inner awareness and follow the negative programming fed to us by one of our reflection or domination-oriented components.